Father God, I love you. I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful for this message that you laid on my heart. But the truth is, Holy Spirit, I don't want to be the one to preach this message. I want you, Holy Spirit, to preach this message. I pray that you open up our hearts, open up our minds, forgive us, and remove anything inside of us that's going to keep us from hearing your word, from understanding your word, and from living out your word. So speak to us now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we begin the new year, I want to share a verse with you that the Lord has laid on my heart. It's Proverbs 29, 18 and 19. It's a very familiar verse. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he who keeps the law is happy and blessed. By mere words, a servant will not be corrected, even though he understands, there will be no response." So that begs the question, what is God's vision for this church in the years to come? So I'm going to go ahead and cut straight to the chase. I'm going to give us the answer now. In almost every church, there is this unspoken line that we do not cross. There are things that we do not talk about. We'll talk about the Big Ten, right? The Ten Commandments. We'll talk about stealing or lying or golden calves or anything else on the list. But we do not talk about these things that silently destroy our lives. I call these things the silent killers. So these are things like depression, anxiety, self-harm, whether that's verbally or physically, addictions, right? And we're talking way beyond just drugs and alcohol. We're talking about food, whether that's too much food or too little food, starving yourself to punish yourself, or because you're not pretty enough, or whatever other people say about you. Bulimia, anorexia, binge eating, addictions to sex. So we're talking a lot more than just pornography. Addictions to alcohol, addictions to spending money. And to me, one of the things that really breaks our heart, that's so sad and it's so dangerous, is that so many times a person that is being silently killed by these things feels like they're all alone. It is simply not true. We have no idea how many people in this church right now are struggling with these things, are struggling with alcohol, struggling with pornography, struggling with addiction, depression, anxiety. How many people are having suicidal thoughts? There may be someone on the same pew as you going through the same thing that you are going through. I guarantee you that right now there is someone in this church that is hurting the way that you are hurting. So today, we're going to take a look at knowing and living out our faith, who God says that we are. We're going to look at the attacks that we face. And there's a different kind of attack than just spiritual attack. There are attacks. There's spiritual attacks, and then there's consequences from bad choices. So we're going to look at both. We're going to look comprehensively at solutions, right? We're going to talk about the practical biblical answers, responses. We're going to talk a little bit about biological answers. We're going to talk about psychological answers. And all these things together can change our life for the better. But in order for us to fight these things, we need to remember where we've been. I've had the joy and the honor of serving as associate pastor 5 years before this Sunday. And we have spent a lot of time talking about the essentials of our faith. Right? There's things that we can agree to disagree on. And then there are things that unite all Christians, right? We can disagree on the color of the carpet. We can disagree on the temperature, right, at the thermostat that is set to. Nobody's going to hell if you light the thermostat set on 84. Right? Some people may feel like we're there if the thermostat is set on 84. But we really got to ask ourselves, you know, am I going to die on that hill? I do not want to preach your funeral and tell people that it killed you because you lost the battle of how fluffy the toilet paper is. These are things we can work out, okay? And we laugh, and that's great because that's silly and we're not really going to argue about those things. I hope and pray we don't argue about those things. But what if we talk about some of these beloved traditions that we have at Calvary? And what if those beloved traditions go back a long time in your life and they're tied to really strong emotions and they're tied to people that you love that aren't here anymore? And what if you feel just as passionate about that tradition as you do the Word of God? They are not equal. And sometimes we disagree about Scripture itself. A great example is what's going to happen at the end of days. If I can, I'll let you know when I get there. Right? But there's lots of thoughts. And those thoughts have divided many a church. But every time we disagree, we have to ask ourselves, can we disagree in love? Can we still be Christians after we disagree? And if the things that we disagree on, we have to ask the question, if that person or myself, if I believe that and disagree, does that make them not a Christian anymore? Some things are essential, some things are not. Right? We will not let the things that are not essential to our faith divide this church. I will fight tooth and nail to make sure that we do not major on the minors. But then there's some wonderful things that unite us as Christians, right? We draw a line in the sand with these, and we will not back down. Things that define us, like, who is God? Who is Jesus? How is a person saved? How are we made right with God? Our identity. Not who other people say that we are or how we feel, but who does God say that we are? What is our purpose as believers? These are the things that we stand up tall. We're fully dressed in the armor of God. We fight to the death. We fight for our children. We fight for this church. And we fight for our very lives. And we've also spent a lot of time talking about what to do with this knowledge, right? By mere words, a servant will not be corrected, even though he understands there will be no response. It is not enough just to know the faith. We have to live it out, right? And if we know everything that there is to know about Christianity, but we do not live it out. Scripture says that we are the same as an old pawn shop junky cymbal, just clanging away. But on the other hand, if we are on fire for God, right, we're ready. We're going to go out those doors, but we don't know anything about what we believe. What exactly are we sharing with the world? What are we living out in front of them? These things have to go together, understanding the faith, living out the faith, because we have to show the world that our faith in Christ has changed our lives. The world does not need another hypocrite, another person acting like a Christian. The world doesn't need us playing church or keeping a pew warm. Jesus didn't die so our pews could be warm. The world needs to see Christ inside of us and us going out and helping those who need help. The world needs to see that Christ has changed our lives for the better. And we preach the gospel by the way that we live our lives. We've also spent years talking about the importance of family. And because of Christ's death on the cross, right, that changed everything. It changed our relationship with God, and it changed our relationship with each other. God is now our Father in heaven, right? We are His children, so that makes us family. It doesn't matter if you like the person sitting next to you or not. They're still family. But family means that we are responsible for each other. So how many of us here have this great big gaping hole in our lives because of a broken relationship? I've shared with this church many times, my dad was a good guy. You know, he loved me. He was good to me. He just wasn't there. There are other places he'd rather be, other things he wanted to do. My boys don't even remember him. But here, in this church, there are several men that are like fathers to me. They feel that desperate need of a good, godly father that my heart and soul needs. And there are other people here that are broken. People without a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a son, or a daughter. And God is calling us to be those people to them. They have a gaping hole in their lives. And God is wanting to work through us to bring healing to them. Every Sunday, right, we praise God for all the kids up here, right? And we usually have somewhere between 20 and 25 kids here every Sunday morning. But do you guys want to know the truth? The cold, hard fact is that when these kids graduate college, 17% of them will still be Christians when they get out of college. That means with 25 kids up here, 21 will leave the faith. I will fight to my dying breath to make sure that does not happen. We are meant to fight this as a family. Starts with knowing our faith, living out our faith, knowing and believing who God says that we are. And with every sermon, every lesson that's taught in this church, these fundamental, these biblical truths are to be taught. Not just from this pulpit, but every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday school, every classroom should be teaching and reinforcing these truths with every lesson. Constantly. This is the charge that we are giving every single leader and teacher in this church. That's where we've been for the past 5 years. Let me ask you a question. That sounds great. I love it. But life happens. Hard things come into our life. When things are hard, what do we want? Really? We just want to be happy. What do, though, when we're not happy? We're just trying to find a way to get through it, right? We try to find a way to cope. Well, sometimes we do healthy things, right? Sometimes we pray. You know, I'm guilty of taking a mental health day. Growing up, we called that playing hooky. Right, go do something fun. Go out, you know, have a good meal. Turn the phone off. Find a good show on Netflix and just detox. It's shocking, But believe it or not, some people even exercise. I know, right? What happens if these things are not enough? What if some of the things that we're going to simply hurts too much? What if the tough times keep on going? What if the tough times keep getting tougher? Right? We get to a point, we just want to feel different. We don't want to feel like that anymore. So we turn to the things that make us feel different. Turn up the dial on those coping mechanisms. And sometimes those coping mechanisms get away from us. And they become even worse than the things that we were trying to cope with in the first place. So what we're talking about here is going to a dangerous place where we disappear into a place where there's no judgment. We can slip into a world where nothing else exists except a thing that is changing the way that you feel. Right? You totally forget about God. You totally forget about even the people that live in the same house with you. Totally forget even about yourself. Totally forget that you need to eat. There are coping mechanisms where you go deep inside of yourself where you just lose yourself. You lose the concept of time itself. Total and complete escape is the goal. That's a dangerous place to live. And it breaks my heart that people that we love in this church live in those places. And you'd never know about it. Now, I think we'd all like to say, yeah, you just need to bring that to Jesus, right? And be a better person. How are we going to do that? I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't automatically run to my Bible when I have a problem. And I'll let you in on this little secret at 12:01. January 1st, 2024, I didn't magically become perfect. Do we just leave it at Paul's word when he says, I do the things that I don't want to do, and the things that I want to do, I don't do them? I mean, is that it? Is that, we just write it off as like, hey, you know what? That's the best a person can do. I'm just going to keep on. But over the next several months, as long as it takes, we're going to look at spiritual attacks. We're going to look at them very well because the devil is not the cause of all of our attacks. Sometimes he doesn't need any help. There's consequences to the things that we do. But two of the greatest attacks that we face, the root cause of these attacks and the root cause of the problems that we face, are almost always based on isolation and identity. Because if we can forget who God says we are and we're separated from each other, it's a matter of time. You can get to the point where you can say, what's the point? Everyone's better off without me. So we say that we just want to be happy. But let me ask a question. What if our goal as Christians is not to be happy, but to be holy? Happiness is fleeting. It just does not last. All right? At work, they pay me to buy things, and I like it, right? Right? It's not my money. It's really cool, fun things. I don't get to take them home, but it's still fun. So when I come home, I still like to buy things. And when I've had a bad day, you should see there's like 87 things in my Amazon cart. Because I just, that's the truth. Last time I looked, I think there's 87 things in my Amazon cart. And I bought this thing, and you know what? It was a good purchase, right? I needed it. It was cool. It didn't cost a lot of money. And I got it, and I was happy. It was like 10 times nicer than I thought it was going to be. And I was like, it was good. I feel good about myself. Appreciated it. Thank the Lord for it. And then I looked at it, and it's like, okay, I guess I'll find a place to put this until I need it. And that was it. It made me happy. But happiness doesn't last. When we say we want to be happy, what we're really saying is we need joy. We need to feel that God is with us. We want to know it's going to be okay. We need peace in our hearts. We need peace in our minds. We want to be liked, but what our heart craves is to be loved by God, no matter what we've done. We say that we want to be a better person, but what we really mean is that we have a desperate need to be kind, to be gentle, to rise above and have the self-control even when no one is watching. We have a need to know how to be patient with others the way that we desperately need them to be patient with us. Now, you may not be surprised that Scripture talks a lot about that. And I want you to listen beyond the songs and to not go on autopilot when I say that these are desperately craving things that are also called fruit of the Spirit. Please hear me when I say that these are the things that we crave, because these are the things that only God can give us. They only come into our lives when God's Holy Spirit is inside of us. Now, many have heard talking about a God-sized hole, right? You try to fill it with everything. 87 things in the Amazon cart. But the hole never gets smaller. And the truth is, we use coping mechanisms to try to get through the world. We don't crave coping mechanisms. We crave God. So how do we overcome? So the concept that we're going to The approach that we're going to take as a church is something called over and up. So you've got this. While we go back to the fundamentals, we talk about justification, right? That's something that God does. I know it's a fancy word, but justification just means that when we come to faith, we are made right with Christ. We're made right with God. We got a clean slate. God takes care of that when we come to faith. And then at the very end of our lives here is like sanctification, the complete made right with Christ, right? The perishable puts on the imperishable. So justification's on God, sanctification's on God at the end of our lives, but we got this whole thing in between that's up to us. You can have as much Jesus Christ in your life as you want, or you can have as little Jesus Christ in your life as you want. So you've got somebody over here on the side, and they're just trying to get through life. Just a Christian who means well, they want to do the right thing, and they're fighting these battles. They are in a foxhole all by themselves, so they're doing whatever they can to feel better. So the goal as a church is to get that person over to what God says, God's identity for us, knowledge of what He wants. It starts with that justification, and to get them up, walking with the Lord, that long walk that takes the rest of our lives. So how are we going to do that? We're going to look at this from all angles. Okay, we are, because we're being attacked from all angles. And the attacks that we face, spiritual, and the consequences to our actions, they're trying to destroy our minds, right? They're trying to destroy our bodies. They're trying to destroy our souls. So we're going to look at it biblically, first and foremost, from the Word of God. We're going to fight to capture each moment that we live for Christ, to learn to bring everything to Him as soon as possible. We're going to look at it psychologically, right? There's some very valid truths there. There are some very practical things that people in this church have experienced that have helped them overcome things. We're going to talk about setting some achievable boundaries, just some healthy lines in the sand that we don't cross personally. We're also going to look at it biologically, right? Because of these spiritual attacks, these psychological attacks, they have a huge impact of what's going on inside of our body. We live like there's a spiritual world, and then there's like a school world where you talk about science, and then, you know, there's psychology, which, you know, none of us really study except for a couple of folks. There's one world. God made it. And we're going to look at it comprehensively because it all works together. But we are also going to work to remember. Remember what God has done. That's one thing, while we hammer prayer, prayer is just one of the greatest things. Just for me to come to you, let my guard down and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. I am struggling with this. Right? And then, or you to do the same to me, and you do not fight that alone. I've said it before. Your battle becomes my battle. Your answer to prayer becomes my answer to prayer. And when I see you and I remember that, that's a praise to God because God answered that prayer, that battle. It gives me hope for the things that I've not seen answers to. Remembering God, remembering what He's done, but to also to remember our spiritual gifts. Right, we're going to take a good long look at spiritual gifts and the misconceptions that we have with them. With spiritual gifts, there's no off switch. Okay, God gives us these gifts, these skills, and these talents, but He also gives us a passion to use them. We are not happy, we are not fulfilled until we get to work using those spiritual gifts. But here's something we don't realize. Using those spiritual gifts brings us joy. Not happiness, but joy. And it's great because there's a desperate need for help. And a good buddy of mine, it's easy to get caught up on the gifts and who has this and who has that and who doesn't, and I'm off the hook because you got that. It's easy to get caught up in that. And it's easy to brag on it. It's like, yeah, I'm really good at this, and you're not. So I feel good. The gifts are from God, and our job is to be the UPS driver and get that gift from God to where it needs to go. We have got to remember also our identity. Who does God say you are? What do you mean to Him? We're going to take a good, long, hard look at our identity in Christ. We're going to remember our identity as a family. We are not just responsible for each other. We are accountable to each other. It is, if you truly are my brother, Matt Miller, you should be able to come to me anytime. We have that friendship and say, Brandon, how you doing with that? And I may squirm a little bit. That's what we're called to do. I'm responsible for you, and you're responsible for me. And if the enemy can destroy our identity, right? It doesn't just destroy the person. It destroys the family. And if you destroy the family, you destroy the church. But what I love is, this is not one sermon, right? This is not a Sunday morning sermon series either, right? We are taking this on as a church. Richard, Jim, Dusty are all going to be speaking on this. We're going to talk about all this and reinforcing all the biblical truths that we talked about on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday school. We're going to saturate this church with the Word of God and the truths that come from it. There are people in this church, you know, I'm brokenhearted about my neighbors and these teenage kids and the stuff they're going through. And I don't want to do a side mini sermon, but I have seen God work in amazing ways over the past couple of days with this brother and sister by God raising people up in this church with very specific skills and gifts and talents. And they listened to God and they went to this brother and sister and blessed them with the gifts of God. Real, tangible, practical help that they desperately needed. We're going to do that with a church. There are people here in this church with God's help who have overcome the things that you're struggling with. There are people here with God's help that have overcome pornography. There's people here with God's help that have overcome alcoholism. There are people in this church with God's help who have overcome depression. You think you're alone, you are not alone. And as a church, we are all going to step up. We're all going to be united as a family, and we're going to face these threats head on. It's real easy, like when we talk about the armor of God, right? And I'll be the first one to confess to you. I think about the kids, and I think about the songs, and I think about, you know, at the end of the service, like when one of the boys brings me this little thing, you know, filled out with crayon, and it's cute and stuff. The truth, and what I want us to think of as a church family and as I think about the armor of God, right, that Roman shield, it went from your feet, like up to your shoulder. This is a big, huge, heavy shield, and it did what it was supposed to do. It protected you. Right, what does Scripture call the shield in the armor of God? It calls it the shield of faith. Now, there's something else that the Romans used to do, too. They didn't fight their battles one by one, either. So those other soldiers who had those shields would stand beside each other. And what did they do? They linked shields together. Not just beside each other, but they would put shields over top of each other. And they made a shield wall and protected each other. What does Scripture say about the enemy's attacks? That they're like flaming arrows. How is the enemy going to stand up against that? With the Word of God and our faith and united. Could you imagine every person in this church joining together and doing that? That's how we're going to fight these silent killers. So, to those here today that are silently struggling with these things, with depression, addiction, suicidal thoughts, secret addictions, things you don't even tell people that your husband, your wife, your best friend do not know, what would God have to say to you this morning? You are loved. You mean something to Him. It doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. It doesn't matter what this other person says about you. God says that He loves you and that you were worth dying for. That is the kind of love that God has for you. What would this church like to tell you this morning? If we could take turns going up here, this church would tell you, you are loved, you are needed, and you are worth fighting for. And I want to let you in on a little secret. God's hand is already reaching out to you this morning. All you got to do is take it, let Him into your life. Let Him into your heart, let Him into your soul. Let Him shine His light into the dark places that are silently killing us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law is happy and blessed. By mere words, a servant will not be corrected, even though he understands there will be no response. Church, God's given us forgiveness and offers us freedom from sin and the silent killers. We will know our faith as a church, and we will live out our faith as a church. We will fight for each other. That's the vision God has for this church. And at this time, I'm going to ask our pastor, associate pastor, our elders, our deacons, to come up. We're going to take communion. And then we're going to have the praise team close us. Now, we said we had to go back to the essentials, right? It is essential to remember what Jesus has done for us. This is what he told us to do, to take the bread, to remember that his body was broken for our sins, to take the cup, and to remember that his blood was shed for our sins. I do want to say, as the deacons and elders come up, if you didn't get a cup, you know, please raise your hand. We want to make sure that you get one. Okay. So as we're waiting to pass those out, I do want to remind us of what the Word of God says. This is a very, very serious thing to do when we take communion. We're not just remembering what Jesus has done for us. It is a chance for us to make sure that we are right with God and that we're right with each other. This is a very important thing to do. But at this moment, if you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do not do this. If you have something that's keeping you from being close to God, if you have something that you're struggling with, go to God now before you do this, or don't take it. I would 1,000 times rather that you pass on communion this morning and be right with God, you know. But also, Scripture says, if you got something against your brother, don't take the cup, don't take the bread. Make it right with your brother or your sister. Bob? I'm going to ask Bob to offer a prayer for the bread.
Heavenly Father, we're holding the flesh of Jesus in our hands and in our memory now. Thank you for his gift, and that he has removed all of our sins, taken them onto his own head, himself to the cross to pay the price, pay the penalty. We thank you for his sacrifice, and we ask you to bless our observance of the bread of life, the flesh of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Jesus told us to do this every time we come, not every time. Jesus told us to do this until he comes back. So let's take the bread. I'm going to ask our new associate pastor if he would offer a prayer for the cup.
Let's pray. Father, Brandon has opened the Word of God to us, and we start this new year with our minds set on our faith is all about and how we can share it with others, how we can love others away from this room and bring people into this room and people being brought into your kingdom. The vision starts with what we're doing right here. The vision starts with the cross. The vision starts with the blood of the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus, you, who came into this world to die for us. We should have been there, Lord. We should have been on that cross. It should have been us who would take the pain and the suffering and the death, the crucifixion. But Lord, it was you. It was you who loved us so much that you were willing to go there for us. So Lord, may the vision of this year and the years ahead focus always on the cross and to remember what you have done for all of us. We thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. May we love others like you have loved us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask the priest team to come up.